Way down in Missouri, where I heard this melody when I was a little fellow on my mammy's knee.
Welcome to Show Me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week we're in St. Francis County, also known as St. Francois by some, right down Highway 67, the eastern side of the state. St. Francis County was formed December 19, 1821, the 28th county, cut out of parts of St. Genevieve and Jefferson counties. And we are here in the courthouse in beautiful Farmington on an absolutely wonderful spring day. We are joined by, I guess, Senator, Representative Mayor. We'll call you Mr. Farmington, I think.
Yeah, Kevin Engel. There you go.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
You missed Mayor.
You missed Mayor.
Mayor, that's right. That's how I got to know him, was when he was mayor. Kitty Kohlmeyer, the president of the St. Francis County Farm Bureau, thank you for having us, sir.
Thank you.
Harold Gallagher, the presiding commissioner that's made these commission chambers available to us, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
And the associate commissioner, Patrick Mulling.
Appreciate it. So glad to have you all here.
This is a county I am extremely familiar with, being from the Boot Hill. If you're going to go anywhere north, you come through St. Francis County up the highway. And it is a place that's very special to me. Settled by the Osage Indians, the first white settlers came over in around 1794. Andrew Baker, Francis Starnader, John Alley, and John Andrews kind of came. It's interesting. It's a unique story. It's sort of how Bollinger County was formed. You had a group of families come up and scout out the place and get permission from the Spanish government, and then they settled. Farmington was it's a unique community in the sense that you had four families move here all at once, not really to form a settlement, not just because they found a turn in the river or something like that. When folks tell the story around here how Farmington was settled, what do folks say?
Well, I can tell you that the Murphy settlement is where they donated the courthouse property, and the word is that when Mr. Murphy came to look at the property in his land grant, he asked a Native American to show him where the water would be. And so that person took him to the springs, and as it happens, the street right behind us is called Spring Street. So there's somewhere up in this part of the, there's one over on toward Karsh, but there's another one up here somewhere, and there's a downspout out here that you can look down in the manhole and you can see water running in it very often.
That's interesting.
Yeah, in the history, there's two things that affected, I think, the county the most. One was water.
Yeah.
Because it was essential. They had to have it if they were going to farm, if they were going to raise livestock. They had to have a source of reliable water. And the springs right here, and the well house is still just down the hill on the other side of the school. There's a well house where the spring runs today. The other thing was minerals. What grew in the development was the mineral. This is the mineral area. It's the lead belt, and you actually had what did you call those rock blossoms?
Mineral blossoms.
Mineral blossoms all over. So there was lead deposits. There were other mineral deposits. And people surfaced, took them with a pick and took it off. That's how you could mine. So that was kind of weird how this past few years when they discovered lead in the lead belt and they were surprised with it. It's always had lead.
Yeah.
And then what happened, the Plank Road, rather, was farmed. There was planks all the way to St. Genevieve, and there's markers out here where they show where the road went, and you paid money to go on the Plank Road, and it would ox cart ore over to the river to be shipped. So
was that Missouri's first toll road then?
Yeah, it was toll road.
It was.
Yeah. And that went all the way from Pilot Knob to St. Genevieve.
Yep.
And this is the last remaining, well, it's not the road's not there, but it's marked. This is the last remaining marked area.
So when I was reading here, there was a question. Now, the St. Francis River, I guess, how the county got its name, but how the St. Francis River was named was not clear. I'd read where an explorer, Marquette, named it for a missionary, Francis Xavier. Most folks assumed it was named after St. Francis of Assisi. What do people here say why?
I've heard both stories, but it is a French derivation of the Francis name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story of that. Now, our St. Francis River is spelled just without the O.
In the Senate, many times you referred to as the Senator from St. Francois.
Yeah.
Peter Kinder loved to call me that, which is fine. My wife's full French, and her father came from France.
Oh, really?
And so when we hear the French pronunciation, Francois, and you could see the fur traders, that was huge. Valley was buying furs from a lot of people out here. So there was a lot of French traders, Spanish, because with the Spanish land grants, as you mentioned, plus the Louisiana Purchase, you had both French and Spanish influence in the area. And now I know we've got a farmer here, but there was not much row crop because you'd have to actually have topsoil for that. And we don't possess a lot of that, but compared to the St. Genevieve County, but they tried to make an existence, didn't they, off of some of the farms?
Right.
That's Milking right. And
everything.
And that does well for livestock, though, right? The soil they have is good at hay, alfalfa, different things.
Right.
When I was reading about how they started, that it actually wasn't that good for crops, but it was very good for livestock.
Well, we have some good crop ground, row crop ground south of town.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You know, we've probably got more cow-calf operations, though, around as far as agriculture than everything else, and that's continued on for literally a couple centuries because you could eke out a living, whether you were milking or whether you were growing some crops and then raising some cattle.
You know, I've got an interesting story here. David Murphy, I jotted some notes down, and his wife Rachel, you know, they gave a donation to fix the county seat, a sum of 52 acres of land. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The new county was made from parts of three counties already established, St. Genevieve, Jefferson, and Washington counties. Now, back then, this comprised of 410 square miles. Well, with the advent of new technology, we're at 455 square miles. But back then, it was 410 square miles. Well, an article written by Sally Burks Keith tells of this interesting insight as to how the boundaries were established. Mr. Carroll Williams and three other men met at the courthouse, and they were to each ride their horse north, south, east, and west. And they were to stop their horses at exactly 6 o'clock on the p.m., and that's how they talk, 6 o'clock on the p.m., and that is where the boundary was to be. And so thus some of the irregular boundaries. So I look
that's
back
a good
now.
Story.
I look back now and wish they'd had some thoroughbreds instead of the quarter horses or draft. But
A lot of times that's how they decided. You look at all the Catholic churches in this area, in St. Genevieve, it was always a day ride for the priest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's why you have one at Weingarten and then, one over here because they could get there if they had to get there. If they couldn't get there in a day's ride, it was too far away and they settled. So a lot of things were settled by that. But the other part of that, we talk about Farmington, and of course we're the county seat, but the other parts of this county have a long history too with the trains that went through. And I know, Harold, you lived in Bismarck. The train used to go through that, it thrived that way. Flat River, Flat River Mo was a lead mining capital of the country. And back then, lead was essential in a lot of elements in war and in construction and everything else. So you had the lead mines and Bonterre, of course. That's where the companies, that was the white collar town because the company, very similar to Crystal City. Crystal City's a company town with Pittsburgh plate glass. Bonterre was a company town with the mines. And they actually built the hospital, built accommodations for their executives. They made things happen that didn't get happen because they wanted the people to be drawn here to stay because they had to create, we didn't have all the niceties in some places back east, so if they were going to send a mine superintendent there, they wanted to have a nice house in some place where his spouse would be willing to live.
Bismarck was such a busy railroad town with old steam engines sitting there chugging all day and all night that for the first few blocks back from the tracks, you have to dig down to find anything but pure black topsoil because all that coal soot for years settled in there, and it's just as black as it can be.
And you had these little towns like Doe Run. Doe Run at one time, 100 years ago, was bigger than Farmington. That's where the mine was, and things evolve and change, and that's what's happened in our history over there. And things, as needs changed, as transportation changed, different part. But we have one of the largest counties now in outstate Missouri. We're going to be approaching 75,000 people. There's very few outstate counties, and growing very rapidly. And so we're proud of the growth and development in the history. One of the big industries was the mental health center. And it's been here for over 100 years. It was a farm. And I know my parents, we lived in Vestas, and they always talked about it. Because my mom said, Kevin, if you don't quit acting crazy, you're going to have to live in Farmington the rest of your life. And she was kind of a psychic in that regard, but we did have to live. But that was
we
a big,
always said that too, from Poplar Bluff. We always said you'll go up to the Nut House.
I didn't say that. That would have been politically incorrect. But that's exactly what my mom said. So anyway, that was huge because when you had the stability of the state's only mental health center at the time, and a lot of people back then, if they had hardening of the arteries, which is now Alzheimer's, they were sent to live in Farmington. So you had a huge operation. All of our industrial park was part of the farm. They were self-sufficient because back then it was okay to let mentally ill people work the farm to create poultry and milk, everything they needed to survive. Now, then in the 70s or whatever, we became enlightened and we thought it would be better for them just to be housed and they wouldn't have any self-worth. That's commentary here, but that's when we were able to acquire all that industrial ground out there, mm-hmm. where the airport is, where U.S. Tool is, where Centene Corporation is. All those S&R products was part of the farm at the mental health center. So that was a huge operation, sure. and was the biggest employer for besides the mines for almost 100 years.
Isn't it? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It's amazing to me that people don't realize that at one time, this county, this area, produced more lead than anywhere on this planet. Mm-hmm. That's just think about that for a second. This area was responsible for more lead. And you look at the mines still left over from the day, mm-hmm. and one that stands out, and it's on everybody's radar, is the Bonterre mine. They sank the first shaft in Bonterre in 18...
Is that the one you still drive by going up 67 you can look at and see?
That's tourism.
Yes. Yeah. And it's known, the first shaft was sunk in 1864, and with the advent of the diamond drill, increased lead output. Well, now they house they're known for the billion-gallon lake.
Yeah, so you see the tailings. That's what you see, mm-hmm. is what came out of the mine. But the mine is still in existence, and you can go down. People come from all over the world today to scuba dive underground.
Jacques Cousteau came and filmed.
And his brother
in
Bob.
Yes. So
Bob Cousteau, you don't know him. Like shortstop for Montreal Canadiens. Anyway.
Moving right along.
So with Jacques Cousteau and his film crew, people from all over the world do that. It's the billion-gallon lake because once it was shut down in 1962, they shut the pumps. They left a lot of the equipment abandoned in the bottoms, and the water started pouring in. Well, a Grogan family, they purchased the mines in the 70s and they opened it up to tourism. In 1974 it was on the National Register, state historic mm-hmm. sites, and it's just been a boom for this county, basically the main attraction in Bonterre, and it's quite the thing to see. It's amazing.
Ran by mules.
Yes.
And the Missouri mules. There were mules underground and they went blind.
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't be taken out. They spent the rest of their lives underground because they lost their eyesight for being in the dark most of the time. Mm-hmm. But that mine, you were talking about 1800s, that mine was a huge producer.
Yes.
And it was done by mules pulling these
trams
up the side that are still there that you can visit. So that's a huge history of our area.
We also have a mineral museum over by Park Hills that has mining history in it and old displays of... mining equipment. It's a wonderful tour.
And St. Joe Park, our second biggest park in the state, is because when the mine shut down, the
state took it over.
It was given, and I think it was given to Bond or Ashcroft's administration, and we turned it into a park. That's the largest ATV riding area in the Midwest.
8,243 acres.
That's how it's
size. Yeah, you can get a lot of riding done.
You can.
Yeah, and people come from Nebraska everywhere to haul their four-wheelers in and tour that.
Well, let me. One thing I found that was interesting, when he talked about Murphy's and how this is Murphy's settlement, in 1798, Reverend William Murphy, an Irish Baptist minister, which is not how I would think those two things would fall. But
why not?
I thought maybe you'd have maybe a Catholic missionary, but Baptist minister came in and was one of the first settlers in Farmington. The first Sunday school west of Mississippi was in Farmington. And in around 1800, Nathaniel Cook came, and the first Methodist sermon, I guess, was preached right here. Mm-hmm. West of Mississippi was preached right here in Farmington. Kind of an interesting religious history that I would not have necessarily thought about.
Right outside of town here, we have a Revolutionary War veteran buried out in off of Old Fredericktown Road. His grave is there because they settled here with that family, and they stayed.
Now, Sarah Barton Murphy was the real evangelist, I think, in the
right.
family.
Right, she's the one that held the first Methodist service.
She's the one that held
the
church services and all that.
Yes.
Going back through that, Joseph Pratt, who's a name I know is still around these parts, he received 20,000 ARPS. I guess that's a different kind of acre from the Spanish government.
It's an area. Sir.
And that's kind of how they started with the Iron Mountain. Congress reaffirmed it. But by the time the settlement began, St. Francis County was deemed an official county, they held their first county court February 25th, 1822. James Austin, George McGeehan, and James Smith were the first commissioners. On September 22nd, David Murphy donated the 53 acres, as you said. Thought that was interesting. It took them 6 months to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, and when they set the county seat at Farmington, you know, a lot of county seats are more central. Farmington's a hair to the south, isn't it?
It is a little bit to the south, but that's where your establishment was because of the water. You know, Park Hills, which Flat River was, it really became because of the mining industry, same with Bonterre. But originally they needed the water, and that's why it was originally there. And then when the people donated the land, it's like still government today. When somebody donates you land, you take it. And it might take you 6 months to get to the Senate. The state senate, but you take the land eventually, but there's so many things happened with those industries in our county that's made it different. You know, a lot of areas, you go to St. Genevieve, and I represented there, it's very solidly German, originally French, solidly German. This county is more universal, and the reason is so many different ethnic groups were brought in to work the mines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And railroads.
And the railroads. So you had different people from Slavic area, from African American, a wide variety of groups were brought in for work over the century.
Like you go to Herman, it was German families came, and so you would know a family or third connection would get you, and you would end up coming. Those connections were usually the same ethnic group or church. Here, it was for the mine, totally different way
That's
to
right.
bring them.
Yeah.
Didn't care what
in Deloge,
they
there's
still
an economics
have an,
to a religion or family.
They have an Eastern Orthodox church still
right off
the park in Deloge. And the Lukacs was the main family that now Frank and those guys, the family's been dying off, but the Lukacs were one of those families that were bought in years ago. And so you had enough people that shared the Eastern Orthodox religion that they had a church. Find that in rural Missouri.
Yeah. You know. Now, you mentioned the 6 months it took us to get our commission set up. Remember that we became a state in late April 1821, and we became a county in December of 1821. The governor had to appoint for all of those counties ahead of us, all of those, and his own staff and everything. So the governor was the one who's extremely busy, and I'm surprised he got to us in 6 months.
You know, that brings up a great point. The state is preparing their bicentennial celebration.
Mm-hmm. And so
I would hope the county would start recognizing that and prepare in a very formal way over there. They're cleaning up the Capitol. They're doing a wide variety of things. And I didn't realize the county.
Does that mean
was
we have
fun?
To put a baggie over the courthouse?
Yeah, make it look like a silo or whatever. There's a bunch of things.
I'll tell you, them old boys that put that bag over the Capitol weren't anticipating the wind that's hit.
Hope wasn't a Ziploc.
Oh, I bet it's.
They've lost it the last 3 weeks. There have been holes in it.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep it shut down. So as time went on, the building we're in right now, the courthouse, they'd built a jail, and then in 1851, and a courthouse, and then 1851, they built another courthouse. And this is an interesting thing about the jail. I read it. In 51, they said there was a prisoner that thought he would escape, so he set the jail on fire, and he almost died.
Well, my version of that story is that this prisoner was either upset with the jail or the sheriff, so he thought he'd burn the jail down, except he was locked up in it at the time.
Yeah. And that's still over here. You can go. That's one block.
We still have the jail. Now, that's the replacement. Now, that's the first commissioner had to come up with an emergency building program because the jail was burned down. It was a log structure, the first one. So they were trying outside. Now, do we let this guy out? He burned our jail down. They did let him out, and he survived the fire, nearly perished, I think is the official phrase. And they did let him out, and then they had to build an emergency building program to build a new jail. And that's the stone structure that's up here now.
Well, as time went by, they had, they built another one in 1850, and then the one here I read where it was built in 1886 for $15,500, and the structure, I guess, you've remodeled or added on to.
Yeah, it's now a bike hostel.
And the bottom they're using is historical. area, so they've got a lot of displays.
It's a beautiful building.
So we're in the annex, is that right?
Yes.
The actual courthouse.
Next door.
Next door. Is that what they're talking about, or is there another building that this one?
The courthouse was built in 1926. Mm-hmm. And
it's third version, isn't it?
Yeah, third or fourth, yeah. In 1850, they had enough room in the courthouse, they rented out space. So, you know, our renting out some space for some of our buildings is not a new thing to us.
Yeah, the jail is one block from there. But, gotcha. And it's still
the old jail.
The old jail.
Of course, we have a new modern jail now out the edge of town. But
a lot of the stone from the courthouse still in existence is the Carthage stone from Carthage, Missouri. So a lot of
which
that was
trucked the number one provider of the state house.
Yes.
It's marble. It's crystallized limestone is what it is.
Yes.
Came right out of the area.
Might want to talk a little bit about, though, the kind of the evolution of ag in the county, because that's changed over the years.
Oh,
with
yes.
The cattle, milk. We used to have a dairy here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know about that, don't you?
Yeah, there was, I think, four different dairies in the county, and or more than that. But my son-in-law likes to collect dairy bottles, and he's got one from every dairy in the county.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lead Belt.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sunnymead primarily served the railroads.
Right.
They probably served others too, but
right.
Primarily that. And even Fremont Chainer had a little dairy.
Right. And Sunnymead was probably the last place that they went on processed milk in the county, mm-hmm. because of the railroad.
Yeah.
Wow.
And all the others, you know, they ran their course, and then they got bought out, and, you know, now your milk might come from Texas, might come from anywhere in the country.
Well, I read during Prohibition, Anheuser-Busch had, before Prohibition, had built cars that were refrigerated cars to keep the beer cold.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ways they stayed in business was they run milk in those cars, and one of the places they stopped and unloaded and reloaded was here in Farmington.
Mm-hmm.
As with the way they could stay in business.
Is that the red buildings down here by Earth Mother?
That was one of them, I believe, and then there was one basically where the current fire station is right there. I forgot which one floated over. One of them, Farmington.
So there's a question I've wondered my whole life, because when I started coming up here to go to the ball games, I'd stop at Flat River, and then it became Park Hill. Tell me about the merger and how the name changed.
There were four towns over there, actually six, that joined together. And they had six forms of government, six police departments, six fire departments, six government entities, the whole thing. Four of those decided to go together. They were Flat River, River Mines, Elvins, and Esther. Those four merged to become Park Hills. The Deloge and
Leadington
did not join, but they still adjoined Park Hills.
And what was the motivating factor to get them to do that?
Economics, I think, was a big
economies
factor.
Economies of scale.
Yeah.
You know, where you get very similar to the coming together between St. Louis City and County. There are, when you have 80 different municipalities, you divide up your police departments and everyone has to have their own form of government, and you have to have different speed limits everywhere. They were experiencing the same things. Back before transportation, all these little burgs occurred around mines, and they finally figured out they'd be more powerful. They have 8,000 people now by being combined, which makes them fairly significant compared to being 2,000 and 1,000 and that. So
maybe in St. Louis, folks try to come down to Park Hills. Looks like it's worked out pretty well.
Well, we have a successful. Better atmosphere. Yeah, they would be welcome.
Yeah.
I think they would tell them, but we still have a lot of historical things, a lot of WPA projects still around that are still in existence. Out there on Columbia, the wall, the rock wall was built by the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson Rozier Ball Field. It looks like a minor league ball field. It was built by the WPA. The old pool, which is now a skate park, was built at that same time. So we, instead of tearing down the buildings, we try to preserve the buildings and upgrade. The ball field is as modern as you can imagine, but the structure itself came from close to pushing 100 years
ago.
Now,
the courthouse looks like it was too decorative to be a WPA project.
It was too ornate.
It was
well
made.
Well, let me ask you the question I like before we go to break. I always like to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Counties, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops. I always like to ask folks how they ended up settling in a county. Commissioner Patrick, how did y'all, your family come to live in St. Francis County?
My family came from the southern part of Virginia, hard to believe, but you know, they were mostly fought on the southern side of the Civil War, the Stars and Bars, and we have a rich history in this county talking about the Civil War. We are noted for a man by the name of Samuel Hildebrand. He was a Missouri bushwhacker.
Yeah, there's several, we'll talk about him,
several
next
books
thing.
Out
yeah.
there. So yeah, that's
how your family.
That's how we came about. We came from that area.
So you ain't the man to mess with at this table. I thought
well,
maybe
I
Kevin, but
that.
No,
he's not. No.
Sam Hildebrand is that name would strike fear in the hearts of anybody
yes.
with a blue shirt on 150 yes. years ago.
Yes, Mr. Engler, I'm sure he saw the rifle up at Jeff City. What was it called? Kill Devil, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I'm the oldest Gallagher. Man. I'm the oldest man at the table, but I don't remember Sam. I'm from Reynolds County, but very young. My dad found work in St. Francis County when I was very young.
What did he do?
He worked first of all in the flooring mill in Bismarck, and then he finally got to work at the mines. And he tried to commute that and live in Lesterville, but that didn't work economically. So
well, that'd be a drive.
We moved. Yeah, it was 34 miles one way in cars that didn't run so well then.
Yeah.
And so we finally moved to Bismarck, and I went to school through Bismarck and raised my kids through Bismarck, and now I've moved over near Farmington and enjoy the county life.
Reynolds County is a pretty place, though.
It is. I love it.
Yeah. Sir, how'd you come to live here in St. Francis County?
Family came from Prussia and came up the river from New Orleans, and actually we're the sixth generation on the same, well, a part of the original farm. And I rent the original farm that has been there for five generations.
Is that right? Well,
yes.
Congratulations. Well, what part of Prussia?
I'm not sure. I don't go back that far.
Tell them the best part.
Yeah, the best
good
part.
Yeah,
the good the
part.
Upper part.
Well, guten Tag, man. It's good to be in the presence of a fellow German. Mr. Farmington, how did you come to live here in Farmington?
My grandpa, my mom was Eisenbeiss, and so my grandpa said, you could always tell us Ooh. Germans, you just couldn't tell us much, by God. And I was born and raised in Festus, but when I went with Edward Jones, I was out of state, and they asked me if I'd come back to Farmington, and I just remember pitching here at Wilson-Rozier, and the mound was illegally high. They never lowered it, you know, when Gibson, yeah. you know, for a while, so any town that, as far as a former pitcher, I loved that. My wife never had set foot here, and they move us here. I called her and said, pack up the stuff, we're going to Farmington, Missouri, and my parents were in Festus, so that was fairly close, and we moved here 33 years ago, and it seems to have stuck.
Well, I want to thank you all for the hospitality. We're going to take a break and come back and talk Showing Me Missouri, the history of Missouri one county at a time here in St. Francis County after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for home sweet home. We're for condos, tutors, single wides, and studios. We're for ranches, houseboats, two stories or 20. Red cedar, bluebirds, white squirrels, black walnuts, whatever's out your back door, we're for that. We're for watching the sun rise over the Mississippi and set over the Missouri. We're for kicking off your heels in a high rise or hanging up your hat in the boot heel. And if you have a home in Missouri, we have a policy for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to Showing Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. We're in St. Francis County in beautiful Farmington here at the courthouse. Very honored to be here. Presiding Commissioner Hale Gallagher, thank you for having us, sir. The Associate Commissioner, Patrick Mullins, thank you for the hospitality.
Appreciate it.
The President of the Farm Bureau and a fellow Prussian, Kenny Kohlmeier, of the Farm Bureau. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. Farmington, Kevin Engler. I want to talk about a guy that has roots in the area but was buried here. His name was Sam Hildebrand. He was, I guess, a Confederate bushwhacker, but I guess being a bushwhacker is kind of...
Allegedly.
It's kind of in the eye of the beholder.
Freedom fighter is what some people call
there
him.
There you right go. Now. Let me. So the here's how I heard it tell, and Commissioner, you correct me before I get off. Is he had no interest in really being in the war, except the a couple vigilante Union guys killed his brother, which kind of turned him against anything federal government. So he decided to kill those two men, and after that, the Union Army came and burned his farm. After that, he was completely off hinge. And he decided to go on a raiding, killing, looting spree and was one of the most effective raiders against the Union Army. But again, the Civil War in Missouri is very complex. It wasn't that he was necessarily out advocating for slavery. It was Union soldiers killed his brother and burned his farm.
You're exactly right. Through the history books, you look at it, and his brother was supposedly thrown in a sinkhole in Potosi. He was condemned, and they basically, you know, they said that he stole a horse, which we'll never know, but he stole a horse, so they killed him, and Sam never forgave that and went on a rampage. You know, back then, some of the Southern generals, Joe Shelby, Bloody Bill Anderson, you know, they didn't, they kind of frowned a little bit upon the bushwhacker, but they needed Mr. Hildebrand continuing to cause ruckus in the Missouri. Missouri was more Union, but the sympathetic Southern cause was predominantly in this area. And Sam went on a rampage, and he would put a notch in his rifle, and they called his rifle Kill Devil, and I believe that's in the Jefferson City at the Capitol.
Well, he was very effective, struck fear in the hearts of a ton of folks, and he was completely hated, so much so that after the war in Pinckneyville, Illinois, he was shot
by a town constable.
Yeah. I guess just on site, right, when they figured out who he was.
Supposedly he was sitting at a bar having a drink, and a gentleman noticed him and said, "I know who you really are." And rather than cause a confrontation, he jumped up and went outside. By that time, the town constable tried to stop him, and they had words, and he shot Mr. Hildebrand in the back, and he is buried in Park Hills. What used to be the old Elvins Cemetery. That's Park Hills now, but he is buried in that area.
And as I understand it, there's still a cave here in the county named after Sam Hildebrand, right, that he used to hide out in.
There is, over by right outside the Deloge area. That was a notorious Southern sympathetic recruitment area during that time. There's a house over there right outside of the old area called Gumbo, and it was the Yao House. But I did a paper on that in college, and the walls are made out of limestone. They're anywhere from 18 to 28 inches thick. And there is an actual bullet hole at the top, and at the bottom of the step, there was an actual blood stain, and to this day, it's still there, but it's obviously faded, where
the DNA is gone.
Union official or Union officer shot a lieutenant for the Southern cause, and that house still stands today. It was built in 1824, owned by the Yows, who owned Mineral Area Office Supply.
Is the old Hildebrand house still standing over by Big River on top of the hill north of Bonterre?
I believe the foundation and that area.
Parts of it are.
This was an interesting spot because you had both. Right up here on Columbia Street, you have General McCormick, who was a Union general. His house, he came back from the war and built it a year after the war, right up here, and you can go through it. So there were Union people that left to fight for the Union, and yet we still had some slavery in this area. Now, they weren't big plantations or whatever, but there were domestic slaves, and you can still go around here and see some places that still have what used to be a slave quarter. So there were people that, of all sympathies, but some people would call it not the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression. But Missouri was split, and so was this county. And you had people, literally brother against brother in the war. And it wasn't philosophical. You know, they weren't big slave owners. They were just people that sided with one side or the other, kind of like Democrats and Republicans. And once you got sided, you stayed that way, and it became bitter because of the necessity of war. It became bitter, right. But there was a split in this county.
You know, the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 did not free all slaves. It freed specified areas in certain states, much of Louisiana and Virginia were exempted, and none of the rest of the United States was even affected by it.
We had Southern Methodist there. Church is right up here in Columbia, across from City Hall, and we had Northern Methodists.
And that split over the war?
Well, that was the big, slavery was my understanding of that, and then when they got back together, just last century, then they farmed the United Methodist, which is, and that's where the, you get the United Methodist.
Well, in Bowling Green, you have the First Baptist Church and the Second Baptist Church split over the war. And they finally, when one burned down, they got back together.
Yeah.
But it stayed that way for 100
years. Yeah.
Exactly.
You've heard the term Lincoln's war tool in this area, reading the history books. And that was just to, you know, gain that Southern sympathy, to rally around the flag and that kind of thing. So that's been termed in the past, Lincoln's war tool.
Well, interesting, even Sam Hildebrand's brother was in the Union Army.
Right. He did serve. Show, yes.
The brother that was killed?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yes.
Kind of looking, let's talk about the schools here. When I think of this area, I always think of Middle Area. It was one of the first public schools west of Mississippi. They didn't have normal schools here until much later in Farmington, but they had some religious schools right around the turn of the century. Mr. Farmington, tell us about Mineral Area and how important it is to this.
Mineral Area College?
Yep.
Huge. Now, it was Flat River Junior College.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
That was Flat River, and it was located. They used
the central schools
to, before they moved out to the location where they're at. Mm-hmm. They moved out in the country where they could buy some land out there. That's what happened. But it was the Flat River. I know several graduates of the Flat River schools in the 30s and 40s. But it brought higher education to the area. It gave people an opportunity to get higher education at a local level. And it's been it's been evolving. You know, with A-plus program, it's evolved to a prep for four-year schools. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to convert it back to more education tech. Tech education, yeah. And preparing people for jobs that are in need in our area, whether it be coding or whether it be welding, to try to come up. There's a truck driving. You know, there's thousands of openings in the truck driving. They have a truck driving. You can start off at $80,000. So they're trying to be the educators for people that are looking for work now, mm-hmm. not necessarily to that you can go there and start your master's and doctorate degree, but they're trying to bring what the education needs are for the community here.
Governor Parson was in Farmington last week to promote his Fast Track program, which goes exactly with what mm-hmm. he's talking about. And so we're central to that. Now, we talked a while ago about the growth of our county. We have the college. We have the biggest hospital. We have the doctors. We have the movie theaters. We have the shopping. We have the restaurants. So when you're getting retirement age in one of the surrounding counties, you want to move closer to your doctor, to your shopping. So you tend to come to Farmington or to this area. And I'm told that if you draw a circle a mile around Farmington, you get half the population of the county right here. There's a number out there, and I don't know exactly.
Well, it keeps growing, and you know, right now there's 500 apartments under construction in Farmington. There was this past year. Some of them are completed, and they're filling up as they complete. But Harold, you hit it, and the thing that amazes me when I was out campaigning this past year is the amount of people that I've met that moved here that had no connection here.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They were looking at getting out of the city. And they were looking at quality of life. And yep. We've got a pretty cool, with the recreation that we have here and things like the Civic Center and Hawn State Park and you know, a wide variety of things. You sent me a picture when you were bringing your kids through here one time. There are people that like the quality of life, and yet you could still be in downtown St. Louis to Cardinal game in an hour and 10 minutes, mm-hmm. yeah. and yet you could be home with your doors unlocked in an hour and going to bed and not having to worry about it.
Well, and we're the center of the parkland. Yeah. We're the very focus of that, because you can go, Hahn State Park is just out the edge of our county. Tom Salk is just the mm-hmm. edge of our county. So you can go to all these other places, but we're the central focus of it.
Do you think that's looking for jobs, or just are these people that can work at home with the internet and they just want to live here and they can commute to St. Louis?
You have some digitally? Of that. More people than you think drive to St. Louis, especially a lot of our union labor force. But these are people that are retired, that were wanting to sell their home and have some quality of life in their last 20 years or so. I work at St. Vincent de Paul with two couples that I know of that had no connection here, but looked around and looked at four or five. They looked at Washington, Missouri. They looked at different places, and they thought, you know what? We want to be close enough to St. Louis. We can get up there if we want to go to the Muni. Mm-hmm. They wanted a cheap golf course, the one couple that I'm thinking. They wanted some play. We got two championship golf courses here in town. They wanted housing that wasn't unaffordable. But they wanted that medical. They wanted to be close to medical. We have 15 nursing homes. So you could transition to a skilled care. You could transition to just an adult assistance center that we have here and go all the way up to full care and not leave home. So that people are, more people I know are finding that the affordability, the availability to recreation and other resources have made this a good place to live.
And not only that, but the highways. We've got 67, 8, 32. We connect to 72. We go very close to 21. So we are very close to the best transportation.
Let's let me ask you about the business community. One business that I'm in is the paper business. I read where the Southern Missouri Argus in 1860 was the first paper in Farmington. The business community today, you mentioned Centene, you mentioned some of the growth. Who are some of the major employers?
U.S. Tool is a major employer, and they do high-quality sharpening of tools and machining of tools. I spent some time there as their inspector. And I was thoroughly amazed with the quality of the work and the intelligence of the people there. There is an end mill that they make or sharpen, and that has 42 dimensions that have to be verified on each end mill. And it's all the radius of the corners, all the lands, all the angles, all the scopes, everything. And they put that in a machine that looks like an old-style phone booth, close the door, spray hits that, and computer sharps and everything. The man just stays there and makes sure.
When you look at the employment situation around the county, our number one employer is the state. We have two correction centers, and we have the mental health center that all employ between 400 and 600, 700 apiece.
Now, the jail, when you're coming this way, if you're leaving Potosi coming this way, is that actually in St. Francis County?
No, that is Washington. In Washington County. So I have three in my Senate district, but there's one in Bonterre and one in Farmington. Then you have the mental health center that has a large employer. Then you have Centene Corporation. You have SGR Products out in the industrial park that has over 500 employees. SRG Products that has, it was Siegel Roberts, now it's SRG Products. You have another call center. You have service industry is probably our second biggest. Medical, we have Parkland, which has about 500 employees, but when you look, combine the service industry of all the restaurants and hotels and retailers that provide service, Walmart has 100 some odd employees in two different locations, Deloge and Farmington. So that service industry is huge. It's not as high pay as some of the others, but it's big.
And Parkland Health Centers are tied to the BJC Health Center System. Health hospitals, which is a wonderful benefit to them.
We have the airport in Farmington, and we're looking at expanding the Steve Vogt with the airport right outside of the Bonterre. They've got a north end airport that's coming online where they're applying for grants to do the lighting and the painting. They've already got the painting done, but they're close to doing the lighting route. So we're excited on that because St. Francis County will have two airports then.
We have a lot of economic opportunities, and I think one thing that's changed since I moved here 30 years ago. When I moved here 30 years ago, everybody was very parochial because we have five schools and we have a bunch of towns, and I think it's getting better and better. They understand. I understand when the Space Museum opens this weekend, it's good for Farmington, even though it's opening in Bonterre. When the wineries do well outside of town, it's good for our area. When a plant comes to Bonterre Industrial Park, or Park Hills, it's good for the whole area. And those people that have put up the walls and say, well, I don't care if it's done here, those are getting less and less. Those people are tending to die off, quite honestly. Yep. And hopefully people understand that we're in this together. You cannot have economic prosperity in one part of the county and have complete disregard for any economics in the other. The rising tide of economic prosperity lifts the whole county, not individual parts of the county. Maybe not as much in some areas because there's some housing problems, there's some questions, but it behooves us all if the whole county's prosperous. If Deloge is prosperous, it helps Farmington, in my opinion. And if Park Hills is prosperous the same way. We need Terre Haute to be building new homes. There's thousands of people in Terre Haute. We need it not to be homes just going downhill. We need it to be new construction and people moving into those areas. Our weakest link hurts us all, and I think if we keep everybody viable, that's the challenge of the commission, is making sure that everybody has the opportunity. You can't make everybody succeed, but everybody in the county need to have the opportunity for economic prosperity.
You talk about the people moving in and commuting to St. Louis. They can move into the northern end of our county and get the benefits of that quality of life, but yet it's a short commute to the city, to their jobs, whatever they do up there.
And they can buy 3 acres for about a third of what it would take in St. Louis County. So if they're in a construction industry, they can build a house and live it, much similar to Bloomsdale, and commute up there to a job that pays pretty high wages and come home and build a house at a pretty reasonable.
Rich, talk about the politics. I've always thought of this county as a Democrat-leaning county up until maybe 10, 15 years ago, and then those tides begin to change. Yeah. What is the politics of the area? What's it historically been, and what is it today?
It's changing over to a Republican base, but it's important that in the courthouse we don't discuss politics.
Yeah.
Do the job and serve the people. And during the election, you hear it outside, but in this building, it just doesn't happen. I'm proud of that.
You've been able to keep that even with maybe
it's not me. It's just the atmosphere of the building. It's not me.
Yeah.
I tell our Republicans, be careful, because it was Democrat, but it can go back. Because most people like myself, I've never voted a straight ticket in my life. My parents were solid Democrats, but they started voting Republican. This is a very much swing area. They're fiscally conservative. They're socially conservative. But they will vote for the person. And so that's why
Jay Nixon did well here, right?
Jay Nixon did very well here. I won my Senate district my second time. Here, this shows you this district. I won my second district by 20 points the same day that Jay Nixon won the same seven counties by 20-something points. So there's a 40-point swing. That's why I always tell the statewides that this area is important. You can go to Joplin all you want, and you're never going to get more than 80% of the Republicans to vote for you. Because that's what you can go to the inner city, and you're never going to get more than 80% of the Democrats. There's a ceiling. Here, there can be a 40-point swing. Why wouldn't you go campaign where there's a 40-point swing? But, you know, sometimes they forget about us because we only got 75, 80,000 people. So, you know.
Tell me, when you're talking about the business, I've known this place for the wineries for a lot.
They're beautiful.
Tell me about the tourism in the area.
Well, the wineries are a big part of that. There are buses that tour that and tour groups that come through and all that. And it's beautiful tour out there. There's I call it a 40-mile loop that you can go around.
If somebody wanted to do a tour of some of the wineries around here, how would they where would they go?
That's a great question. They can go to Discover Farmington and it will on it, plus the wine trail. My wife is the director of tourism, which is a part-time job for Farmington. And I tell you, they found that we're not capable of hosting the Super Bowl, and we don't have all these major events in the cities, but we have so much. We have more state parks. We have 12 state parks within a half an hour here. If you want to go to Elephant Rocks or Johnson Shut-Ins or Sam A. Baker or St. Francis or Washington or our ATV ride, then you've got all these Pickle Springs hikes that are ranked in the top, the wineries. And so what they've done is started promoting things like the mines, like the only whitewater rafting in Missouri that will happen next week in Fredericktown. Promoting those things where people come out of town, they're not coming in for exact Farmington, but chances are they'll find a restaurant here or a hotel here. So the wineries, we have a huge wine trail, and if you go to the St. Genevieve Wine Trail, you can find the details on that or go to Discover Farmington, and there's a link to the wineries on it.
And German in me, that wine goes down pretty good.
Well, also in St. Joe Park, we also have three hiking trails that are paved. 3 mile, 8 mile, and a total of 11 miles, if you want to do it that way.
So, I mean, I'll note that for everybody, but I like that wine better than that.
Well, you can do that, yeah. So it would be best to do the wine second.
But that makes sense. Yeah, you don't want to get a drunken while biking or anything. Yeah. You know?
If they people like the outdoors, this is a place to come. My wife and I just went. I've been here 30-something years, as I said. We went to Buford Mountain.
Yeah.
The other day, just outside the county, which is before you get to in Ironton, on U Highway, is a 9 mile, 9-something mile with an elevation swings 5 different times of over 600 foot. Heck of a height, well marked. Nobody was out there. It was gorgeous, and nobody knows about it because it's a conservation area, and the conservation areas like Hickory Canyon that we have that are gorgeous, that have one of the biggest waterfalls in the state. Conservation does not promote the areas. They're just there to conserve. We have some of the best conservation areas. I'm not just talking about the parks. So we want people that are outdoors people, come out and see what St. Francis County has to offer.
Hats off to our conservation department. Very well funded because of the tax, but still, you've got a lot of these places that even the residents don't know about, and they're jewels, you know, they're hidden assets in this county.
Yeah. A couple. There's a few famous folks from St. Francis County. I'll miss some, but one, Ferlin Husky's the one I always knew about, the old country music singer and gospel singer. Mm-hmm. One I knew about but wasn't a fan of was Jay Garrieta. I guess he's pitched for the Evil Empire for a while. See, in Butler County, you get burned out for that, but I guess you're more tolerant folks up the road a ways. And one I didn't know about was Charles Sebastian, who was from St. Francis County, went on to be the mayor of Los Angeles. I did not know that connection.
Yeah. The Sebastian name's been here forever. Mm-hmm. The president of the bank is a Sebastian. Mm-hmm. And right outside, there's a gentleman that was on the, is it 1913 World Series team with Babe Ruth? And it's got his statistics, so make sure you look at that. I don't know if we've got more infamous or famous people from St. Francis County.
Well, the United States Air Force General Glenn Van Herk is from Bismarck and raised here and educated here.
Right before Mr. Husky passed away, he did a little song bit at the West County School System. Yeah. They brought him out in a wheelchair, and he did a little note. It was cute. I mean, it was really impressive. It was cool. So,
huge crowd.
They did.
I was there that night. It was...
Well, last question I always like to ask folks on the show. Commissioner Mullins, if you had somebody that was coming in for the weekend and you could bring and show them something in St. Francis County, what would you have them know about the people, and what would you take them to see?
I would take them to see the Bonterre mine. I mean, it's amazing to me that, you know, we produced more lead anywhere on this planet, and you can take them down there, and they can get on a pontoon boat underground in the billion-gallon lake, and you can take a little tour. They drive you around in a pontoon boat. They get you out in the middle. Of course, I'm going to do the surprise here, but you get out in the middle and they said, look down at the bottom. How deep do you think that is? And most people like me, I've said, you know, 15, 20 feet deep. It's almost 100 foot deep. I mean, the water is that clear. So I would take somebody to the Bonterre mine.
Mr. Gallagher, you had somebody coming in for the day and you wanted to show me. Tom Wright from over in Miller County coming in for the day. What would you take him then, see him? What would he have to know about?
Why don't you ask about Tom Smith? You spelled his name correctly.
Yeah, there you go.
I would take him around and introduce him to some of our people. We have some wonderful people here, people at various backgrounds and very intelligent people, and I would like them to meet our people.
Mr. Kohlmeyer, if you had, let's say, our friend from Cedar County, the president of the Farm Bureau, what if he come to town, what would you take him to see? What would you have him know?
Show him the landscape and the different farms. There's some quite large farms. There's smaller ones, and there's no differentiation from, you know, large or small. They've all got character. Mainly, after the tour of the mines, I take him to one of our wineries, and they're all around the county. Yeah. They're everywhere.
It's an interesting thing how you said the landscape, because I've always thought it was a beautiful area up here. But normally when you think of a place that has a bunch of mining, you don't think of it being beautiful when you're done. Mm-hmm. I guess that's just the evolution of, as the mine closed, they did something positive with it, be it the Bonterre diving or just the parks and things.
And talking about his farming, especially to the south of town, we're getting more and more greenhouse businesses and vegetable farming. We've got some... 1,000 acres on the Mennonite property. Right. We've got the Proffer Plus out here with many, many hundreds of acres. And we ship tractor trailer loads of vegetables out of this area every summer. Many tractor trailer loads.
Mr. Farmer, if you brought one of your colleagues down, what would you show them about this area and what would you have them know about the people?
Well, I've been fortunate to be able to do that with a couple governors. And if they come down the weekend, and here's our typical weekend, we go out and we go to Johnson Shut-Ins, we go to Elephant Rocks, we go to Tomsock, see the highest point in Missouri, the highest waterfall in Missouri. We go to Elephant Rocks, which is one of the biggest visited. We go to Johnson Shut-In. We eat barbecue at Bailey Joe's Barbecue in Ironton. Have a great time. Then we come back here, spend the night in Farmington. Then the next day we do the wineries, and we take him to place like 12 West. I've taken the former mayor of St. Louis and three different governors here to 12 West, and it's as nice a restaurant you can find. So you can go out and enjoy yourself at one of the biggest industrial wineries in Crown, and some boutique wineries like The Cave, it's an actual cave. So there's some wineries that you can't find anyplace else in Missouri, and there's some outdoor adventures that are really great to see and do and have, and everybody I've brought down here has brought their family back at one time or another.
You was talking about the wineries. I was sitting in a fast food restaurant one morning drinking coffee, and a tanker truck pulled up out in the parking lot. And there was something about that tanker truck that different. There were no placards on it. And so the driver came in. I said, "Can I ask what you're hauling?" And he said, "Tequila." And I said, "You don't have any placard." He said, "You want me to have a big sign on that that says I'm hauling tequila?" I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm taking out the Crown. They do our bottling for us."
Yeah.
Wow.
And the bottles are made in Park Hills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At Flat, we didn't even talk about that Flat River Glass, but that's who produces their bottles.
Three shifts. They're the 363 days a year.
Yeah, they're producing Tito bottles there, mm-hmm. as along with others.
Well, those are folks that have emptied some Tito bottles.
Yeah.
They came from there. Well, I want to thank y'all very much for the hospitality. We appreciate you letting us be here in St. Francis County. I want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Association of Counties, the Missouri Association of Co-ops, and the Missouri Farm Bureau. If you're not a member of Farm Bureau yet, why not? You should be. You won't be a freeloader. There's a lot of folks watching out for St. Louis and Kansas City. You need a few folks watching out for the rest of the state as well, and they do a great job of it. I want to thank, again, us letting us be here in Farmington and St. Francis County for showing Missouri the history of Missouri one county at a time.